chapter 17. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. The Lord appeared, and he walked before me and be blameless. And I'll make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your descendants after you, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign for the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, for Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of many nations, or nations, excuse me. Kings of people shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, No. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. You shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So Abraham took Ishmael, his son, all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very same day, Abraham was circumcised, and his son Ishmael, and all the men of his house, born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. Okay, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word, and we learn some more promises that God gave to Abraham, promises that affect us. May we just learn by your Spirit how to apply them to our lives for your honor, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage of Scripture, we have quite a few new names. Do you know what your name means? Any of you know what your name means? My name, Ed, means witness. I should know what David means, but I can't remember.
I don't know either.
Yeah, most names have a meaning. You look it up, it's kind of interesting. And in the Bible, names were very important. And the meaning of the name was often quite significant. And in this case, as we get into some names here, we'll see what they mean, what their significance is. First of all, God revealed a new name for himself. It says here, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God, Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I'll make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. El Shaddai, that's the Hebrew word. El Shaddai. I can give you a lesson on those Hebrew words, but let's give you one, say one thing. It goes from left to right, but go backwards to our thinking. It takes a little bit of getting used to. But it simply means God Almighty. What's significant about this name, God Almighty? If God says he's God Almighty, what does that say about him? Well, he can do anything. He's all powerful. Can he give Abraham and Sarai a child? Sure he can. It's interesting that this name was the name that God used when he addressed himself to Abraham, this time finally. And his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob knew God by this name as well. And that's where you see the name quite often in the scriptures. And here's something about God being almighty. This is from Psalm 139. And God is all-powerful. We use that word omnipotent, all-powerful, to describe God. And this is what David says in Psalm 139 about God being all-powerful. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lower parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance, yet being yet unformed. And in your book they are all written. They all were written. The days fastened for me when as yet there were none of them. I always marvel at this passage because God knows what goes on before we do. He knows what's going on when a child is conceived. He knows what DNA has come together to make that child, how that child is going to develop. And scientific researchers show that DNA and the genetics are very, very significant. Even way more than environment and how a person develops. I find this kind of interesting too because my wife and I are both twins, identical twins, and so not to each other though. and scientists still don't know why identical twins happen. For some reason, that fertilized egg divides into two. And scientists still can't figure that out. And don't know how all that happens, but God knows all about that. And I don't know why he made two of us, my twin brother and me, but God has his plans. And if God can do that, God can take care of what it is with Sarah so she and Abraham could have a child. And we'll learn a little bit more about that as we go along here in the book of Genesis. And here we see Abraham when God said, I am Almighty. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. Also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. God here gave Abraham a new name. His original name, Abraham, means exalted father. But his new name that God gives him, just one more letter added in there in the Hebrew language, means father of a multitude. You're going to have lots of descendants. You're going to be father of a multitude. See, Abraham saying, yeah, right. I've got Ishmael here. He's not even the heir. And things got off to a slow start. Because there's Abraham. Then there was Isaac. Then there was Jacob, three generations. And finally, Jacob had 12 sons, and then things started happening, and the nation of Israel started growing. But it kind of took a while. And in this, God also gave Abraham a new promise. He'd already promised the land to Abraham. Back in chapter 15, he says, on the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants, I'll give you the land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. Now God gives a little more detail. He says, kings shall come from you. And this shall be an everlasting covenant. Excuse me. Has God kept his promise to Abraham? Of course he has. Kings have come from him. Kings of Israel. Kings like King David. And eventually, of course, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And does God keep his promises to us? Oh, yeah. He doesn't do it the way we want all the time. God doesn't promise to do our will in our lives. But he does promise to do his will in our lives and to lead us through it all. He does promise to be faithful. His promise not to change and so on. And God gave Abraham a new sign. God is finalizing his covenant with Abraham here. And the sign of that covenant is, of course, circumcision. We read about it there. As God said, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which I shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin. Then it shall be a sign for the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male in your generations who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner, who is not your descendant, he who is born in your house and he who has bought with money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. For he's broken my covenant. Strong statements here, but a very clear statement that God is making this a sign of a covenant. Because he wants them to know his covenant is going to be, he's going to be faithful to them. In the 8th day, every male child, even if it's a slave, shall be circumcised. And there shall be a perpetual sign to Israel, and they kept that promise. So circumcision was around in other cultures, but this is the only place where circumcision was used as a sign of a covenant. And that sign is still with the Israelites today. They still carry out this same thing. And God has brought them back into the land. Now, most of them have not turned to Jesus Christ, but God is working. For us believers, there's a new sign that he gives us. Us believers, the sign of a covenant that we have with Jesus Christ is baptism. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, then we proclaim it by being baptized. And Abraham obeyed God in this matter. It says that Abraham took Ishmael's son, all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins. That very same day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised. That very same day, Abraham was circumcised, and his son Ishmael, and all the men of his house, born in the house, or bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. God kept his promise, and Abraham obeyed God's promise as well. That's the other side of God's promises. And we see it with the nation of Israel. When they obeyed God, God kept his promise with them, and they went well. When they disobeyed God, God didn't forget about them, but he didn't punish them, but sent them off into exile for a while and different things like that. But God wasn't done changing names, but also gave Sarai a new name. This one's interesting because Sarai means princess, and Sarah, this one more letter, an ancient lad added to it, also means princess, but in a different sense. Sarai, more like my princess, like you'd say to a young girl. But Sarah means princess or noble woman, and was sometimes used of the king's wife. In some cultures, it's the king's mother that's called the queen, and the king's wife would be called princess. And here, it has a sense, of course, that the wife is going to be the mother of the heir. And that's the significance here. That Sarah was going to have a child. This child was going to be the heir of God's promise to Abraham, and heir of God's blessing, and so on. And so her name was changed. And this is what the Lord said to Abraham. Then God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall be, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her. And I also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her." God is saying the same thing about Sarah, he said about Abraham. She's going to have this child through whom is going to come kings and a great nation. God gave Sarah this wonderful promise. You'll have a son. She'll have a son. Of course, God's talking to Abraham here at this point. But she's telling him, I'm sure he told Sarah what was going to happen. And she would have a son. Her descendants would become nations. Some of them would become kings. Like, picture on the left there is kind of depicting David being anointed king by Samuel. On the far right is probably a picture of King Solomon. In the middle, a picture of Jesus riding in on a donkey there on Palm Sunday as King of Kings. And this is how Abraham responded. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to me, a man who is 100 years old?" So Sarah, who was 90 years old, bear a son, bear a child, as you say. And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." And God said, "No." Sometimes God says no, yeah. God said no. Abraham, you got it wrong. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. Isaac, by the way, means laughter. "I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him." What's God saying here? It's through Isaac that God's promise is going to come. God's blessing. Not through Ishmael. I'm making that very clear at this point. Also, Abraham laughed there. Wasn't a laughter of doubt, it was a laughter of joy and of anticipation. "What? I'm going to finally have a child. Sarah's going to have a child. I'm 100, going to be 100 years old by then. And Sarah 90 years old." Bill and I were talking this morning. He told me how old, showed me how old he is. I'm sure if somebody told him he's going to have a child, he'd look at me sideways too. But we know that their life cycle was a little different, because Abraham did live to be about 175, remember right? So he still was kind of in some respects in the prime of his life. Talk about that a little bit more when we get to Sarai in a couple chapters. What about Abraham's son Ishmael? And as for Ishmael, God says, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him. And I will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall get 12 princes. I'll make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So Ishmael would become a great nation, and Ishmael did. That's the Arabs. But God's covenant will be passed on not to Israel, but through Isaac and through Jacob to the nation of Israel. And that's very, very much borne out what the rest of the book of Genesis teaches us. Well, here we see some things that God has done. He revealed a new name for himself, El Shaddai, God Almighty, all powerful. He is able to do anything. Yes, he's able to give Abraham and Sarah a child. Abraham became father of a multitude. And God is changing Abraham's name just to kind of confirm his promise that yes, you are going to have a son through Sarah. And Sarai's name became Sarah, because she's going to have an heir as well. It's going to be through her that this heir and this promise is fulfilled. What was God doing? He was creating a people for himself. He started with Abraham. He continued on with Isaac, and then Jacob, Isaac's son. And things seem to start kind of small, but then from Jacob comes 12 sons and from the nation of Israel. Of course, from the nation of Israel, Jesus has come. And through Jesus Christ, all nations of the earth have been blessed. So people have come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and put their trust in Jesus Christ and have entered into a relationship with God, the church of all believers. And this was all in God's plan that he was working out. But this was God's purpose all along. God's purpose all along, because he had figured out how he was going to bring about Jesus Christ into this world. And when Jesus Christ came through the nation of Israel, he came for a very set purpose. The purpose that God had in mind right from before the foundation of the world, of the earth, the Bible tells us. But Christ also suffered once for sins. That's why he came, to die and pay for our sin. Adam and Eve messed up back in the Garden of Eden. And God, even there, was promising there was going to be a deliverer that would conquer sin and Satan. And Jesus did that when he died on the cross. For Jesus also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. Why? That he might bring us to God. God's working to bring people back to himself. Jesus Christ was put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. As well as he ever lives to make intercession for us. We can come to God by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ now, because he has come and fulfilled God's plan of redemption to bring people back to himself. And that was all part of God's plan. And it kind of unfolds step by step, and we don't see it that clearly at first. But it all comes together that way. And it comes down to ourselves having a choice. We can continue to stray away from God like Adam and Eve did initially, like so many people have done. Or we can turn and come back to God. And that's the call that God gives. This is the very last call of the Scriptures in Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the Bride, God's Spirit, the Bride, God's Church, say, come. We invite people, come to Jesus. That anyone who hears say, come. that anyone who is thirsty because you know there's something in life you need, come to Jesus. That everyone who desires, drink freely from the water of life. Jesus gives the water of life, eternal life, to be right with God, eternal life to come back to God, eternal life to have our sins forgiven, eternal life to never live with God, eternal life to have the punishment of our sin taken care of by Jesus Christ. When we accept that in faith and know that we'll be going to heaven with Him instead of being punished in hell for our sin and our rejection of Jesus. These are a few verses from Jesus when He talked to the woman at the well. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water," meaning the water in the well, "will thirst again." Last few days, we know what that's like, don't we? "But he who drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst." Why? "But the water that I give shall will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life." Jesus here promises that He changed us from the inside out. The water of life is Christ by His Spirit coming into our lives and changing us. When we're born again, when we put our trust in Jesus Christ and invite Him into our lives, He changes us from the inside out. By the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, we're made new. It's a renewing process that God does on the inside of our heart. And that's all what God was working out in His plan, to bring people to Jesus, to bring people to Himself, to Jesus Christ dying on the cross. But then it's our responsibility to come to God in faith and trust in Him and His provision of Jesus Christ. It's our responsibility to surrender to Him and then walk in obedience to Him as well in faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. Just encourage us to turn to You and walk with You in faith, trusting Your Son, Jesus Christ, the giver of eternal life. In whose name we pray. Amen.